Today in the gospel, a deaf man is brought to Jesus. And we might not have, obviously, a physical impediment that we can't listen with our physical, biological ears. But the very word disciple in the Greek, mathetes, means one who hears. And many might have an internal impediment of hearing God. One of the signs, because Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 3, when he speaks about, I am the good shepherd, he says, my own hear my voice. So a sign that we are part of the flock of the Lord is that we are growing in sensitivity to the voice of Jesus in competition with so many voices. The Lord, when he speaks, there is a consolation with it. There is peace, joy, hopefulness. There's an exhilarance that is so important. And we've been speaking these past few days since Friday, the specific things that cause disunity or unity, and that really make it more difficult to hear the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But for us to be able to hear the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, every time we hear it, it's like the Lord builds slowly. He teaches slowly. So in other words, each yes, each act of obedience to when he does speak, and he speaks in many ways. He can speak through a preaching. He can speak through the Word of God, obviously. He speaks definitely through the church. The church is called the pillar and foundation of truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. But we must develop the internal sensitivity to hear the voice of the Lord. This is crucial if we are to grow. And it's a crucial sign that you and I are growing. Because, in fact, the more prayer matures, the quieter it becomes. So today, he opens up the ears. Oh, that we would have our internal ears opened. When I talk to people in counseling or confessioning, I'm listening to them with my physical ears, but I'm listening simultaneously inside to what the Lord might be showing me. So, why is that important? Because I cannot rely on what I see or what I think, because I'm blind. In fact, I don't even understand what's happening sometimes inside of me, let alone what might be happening inside of someone. So I need reliance totally on Jesus, who knows all. Now, I have some beautiful stories. And one particular man that I know in New Orleans, he had been away from the church for probably 30 years. And his wife was praying that he would at least go to Mass with her on Sundays for all their marriage. She's a classmate of Mother Agnes Maria of my community. So they know each other for many years. So he comes to me one day after Mass, and what had happened, I had shared at the very end of the mission that after our ordination of our last two young men that were ordained a year ago, our van caught fire out of the blue. It caught fire. And worst of all, they turned off the water in the city. What a time to turn off the water. So when I go get the hose to turn on the water to put out the fire, there's no water. So we had to get dirt to put out the fire. Basically, the enemy was a little miffed, to say the least. So I shared that story, and I said, if anyone here is buying a new van, we'll take your old one. We don't care. We'll take it. Well, he comes after Mass. I've never seen this guy in... Today, I'm now his spirit director. And he came crying. And he said, Father, I heard the voice of God the Father. And he was crying. And he said, well, what did God the Father say to you? He described it. He described what happened. He said, my heart was on fire. What did he say? He told me to buy you a new van. I said, that's God the Father. No, I'm kidding. No. I mean, I started crying. So he said, who do I make out the check to? I said, Family of Jesus Healer. That's the name of our nonprofit organization. Next day, he calls me up and he's sobbing. He said, I just came out of the chapel. And the father said, you know, I want you to give Father Philip more. Give him $50,000. $20,000 for the new van and $30,000 for the construction. Man, was I crying. But more than just, and he was not a rich man, believe it or not. He was more moved and touched that he was hearing the voice of the Father. That's what impacted him more. You see, he was beginning to have a conversion. Not only were the prayer of the wife answered, that he go with me to Mass on Sundays. This guy now goes to Mass every day and has 2 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament. Prays the Rosary, chaplet, and belongs to a group, a lay group that we founded that is associated with our group, Family of Jesus, called Families of Jesus. This guy has had an incredible conversion experience. God has unplugged his ears, and he's hearing God. You see, something begins to happen in the spiritual life. At first, God is like a fireman. He puts out our fires. He takes care of our problems. But something begins to happen. We ask him, and maybe we come to this retreat or other things, and we have all these needs, like a whole list. They call it a grocery list, right? So we have our grocery list. Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I need this. Eventually, God turns the table around. And God begins to ask the soul, I need this from you. I need this. I want you to forgive this person. I want you to give this amount for this. Because really, God has no other hands, as the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila says, but yours. In the book of James that we read, the second reading, it spoke about the poor, to treat someone who comes dressed well and someone who's not dressed well, ill-clothed, the same. I have had some incredible experiences. I've been living among the poorest of the poor since 1994. I don't know if you know, but Blaise Pascal, who's ever heard of Blaise Pascal, the great Catholic philosopher? He got cancer in his throat. And when he could no longer receive communion and swallow the Eucharist, he would ask that a beggar be brought to sit next to him in bed. Because he said, after the Eucharist in the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus is closest to us in the poor. That's how God sees the poor. Have you heard the story about St. Lawrence? What happened to him? St. Lawrence, the Pope was being taken away. This is in the 4th century. And St. Lawrence, who was in charge of all the business and material, aspects of the church, working with the Pope, as the Pope was being taken away to be martyred, he begged him, please, don't leave without me. And the Pope said to St. Lawrence, you'll be following me in 3 days. So the general in charge of the government of the army of the Caesar, okay, the Roman Caesar, asked, he said, I've heard, and I'm not quoting it obviously, but I'm just giving the gist of it. He said, I've heard that the church is very rich and we need money and assistance for our Roman troops. He said, yes, in fact, the church is very rich, but give me 3 days to put our accounts in order. When the Caesar, came with the Roman general of the army to accept this donation, he noticed rows after rows of poor all over. And he felt he was being mocked. And the St. Lawrence, the deacon, turned to them and said, "These are the treasures of the church." And he got martyred. God sees things very different than we do. Very different. Before I moved to Peru, I was looking for a seminary, because originally the idea of getting to Peru was just to send my men to seminary there. And I went, and I was sitting at a coffee shop, having a cup of coffee, I think, and I remember an egg sandwich, and reading some theology. And a young boy with a Yankee baseball cap named Harry, I found out his name afterward, came to me and he said, "Father, can you give me some money to get my family something to eat?" And I said, "How many in your family?" He said, "I have my three sisters, one brother and mother." And I said, "And your father?" And his face became very long. And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "My father was killed 3 years ago." And I said, "What was your father's name?" And he said, "Philip." I said, "I think your father, Philip, was praying, and Father Philip has been asked by God to help you." He lifted his head for the first time. He had a big smile on his face. I said, "Where do you live?" And he told me the name of the slum called Ventanilla, which is about, by car, about 40 minutes from the airport. Imagine what it took him to walk. Probably hours, just to get food for tomorrow. So, of course, I bought some stuff, and yes, gave him some stuff. I won't get more specific. But then I thought to myself, how is poor Harry going to get to the slum? They're going to jump him. And the thought comes to mind, get him a taxi. So I walked out with these bags with food and whatever, and we walked outside. And to my surprise, usually when you walk out of the airport in Lima, the taxi drivers are, you know, "Pater, pater," you know, speaking all this slang and all this stuff, you know, and they attack you. There was no one there. I was like shocked. And a man showed up with coat and tie, bowed when he saw me. And that struck me, and I thought, wow, this is a taxi driver. He's bowing. And he said, "Father, can I serve you?" And that, you know, it's like one of those experiences that your head knows, does not understand, but your heart knows something's happening and it isn't of this world. So I told him about my little friend Harry and his story and all this. And he put his arm around him, and with a voice that took away all fear and anxiety, he said, "I will protect them." And then he said, "Before we leave, I ask you for your priestly blessing." And he bowed so low. And all this was surprising me. And then I said, "By the way, what's your name?" He said, "Michael." This was not a human Michael. It was an angel. Well, he left. He never asked me for money. I never paid that taxi. It was an angel. God sent an angel in the appearance of a taxi driver to help the poor. The poor are God's elite. God sees things so differently. I could tell you story after story of ministry to the poor. And I really could spend your hours telling you. They have been what I now call my doctorate degrees on 2 feet, teaching me. I sit at their feet to learn from them. Now I want to mention this before I end. When we die, and we're all dying, and none of us are getting out of here alive, I don't know if you knew that, and our time on this earth is not even this compared to eternity. The final exam question has been given. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. What we do for the poor. We know the final exam question. In other words, it's not a pop quiz. We're not going to be shocked. And Jesus says, whatever you did to the least of my little ones, you did unto me. Now, the book of Tobit has a nice rule of thumb of what to do. Okay? How to give. We know St. Teresa, or Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, said, give until it hurts. And there will be taken now a loaf offering, or I think a collection at this time. And first I want to speak about the ministry here, or our Sorrowful Mother's ministry. You know, this doesn't run by faith. There's bills to pay. And that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, we live on this earth. Even in the jungle, and we don't even have electricity in our house. We live without electricity in our house. Okay? But there's still, we need to pay something. Gasoline in Peru is $7 a gallon. You think you have it bad here? It's cheap here. Okay? The roads there, you can't imagine. When I first got there, there was 4 roads that were paved. But the roads, our needs in Peru are our needs, and I'll speak about that in a second, and I'll tell you why I'm going to speak about that, because someone who was poor spoke to me about this. Someone obeyed Jesus, what he said through her. But then, as far as here, this building didn't go up because it rained money one day. A loan had to be taken. And the loan has to be paid. And it's all not for their own benefit. It's to serve God, to feed souls with truth, healing, love. God has blessed us. He's healed us. He's touched us. And part of our giving to Him is our gratitude to Him. Our gratitude to Him. When we begin to really realize what God has done in our life, do you know that one of the signs that we are growing in our relationship with God, and this is St. Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, is that we become more generous. In fact, some souls want to die for Jesus over and over and over again because they realize everything that they have and everything that they are is no longer their own, including their pocketbook. A Colombian priest one time told me, conversion has to go from the head, orthodoxy, to the heart, learning to love, and to the wallet. That's just the way it is. There's no other way. So the needs of this ministry are great. Now, we are now building, we've built one novitiate, we need another novitiate because we're getting, there's 7 priests interested in coming to the community. There's 7 exorcists. Where we live, there are schools of Satanism. People go to school to be Satanists. There are 2 schools where we live. I already told you, one of the cities is called what? Hell. The other one is called Condemned. It's not a nice place. Okay? The majority of the town lives in chronic mortal sin. Okay? 3% of Catholics in Peru go to Mass. How many really know Jesus? It's very small. Okay? So our work is, we have our back against the wall, and we have to work and work quick because it's a challenge, to say the least. I'm not even talking about the needs of the poor. The needs of the poor are off the charts also. In our community, what we've done is, and I should have brought out photographs, and I do have it in my back, of what we do. It's build houses, pay for operations. Whatever the family needs, God, if we can do it, we can do it. Why? Because the family is the most important thing. If anyone here would like to donate something or assist us, first of all, you will be blessed off your socks. I'm not even wearing socks today. I took off my sandals. Because we celebrate Mass without sandals, okay? So that's why I wanted to, on Sunday at least, be connected with my community barefooted. Based on the book of Exodus, chapter 3, you're on holy ground, take off your sandals. That's why we do it. In the book of Tobit, chapter 4, Tobit is, God through Tobit says, if God's gifted you financially, be generous. If you are with a rope around your neck, give with what you can. And then he goes on to say in chapter 12 of the book of Tobit, he says, it is better to give alms than to treasure up gold. For almsgiving delivers from death. It will purge away every sin. Okay? The saints say, we help the poor on earth, but when we die, the poor help us. Okay? The poor help us. So, if anyone here would like to give a check when the collection comes, you can make it out to Family of Jesus Healer. I thank you for your generosity. Okay? We do need help. We need to build this novitiate. Okay? Other novitiate. That's just a fact. We're praying for vocations, but we need to put people in some in a novitiate. I mean, they can't sleep on trees. Okay? And it's very dangerous to live in the jungle. Anacondas, tarantulas, all those goodies are there. So we need for them to live in a place. That's just a fact. It isn't luxury. And our house is very simple. Okay? So if you can help in any way, as the Irish say, God love you. Okay? Please stand. And let us together say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray for our Pope Benedict the 16th and all bishops that the Holy Spirit will guide them, direct them, strengthen them, console them. We pray to the Lord. Let's pray for the ministry here, that the Lord will also bless their good efforts, multiply their good efforts in every level, that they might continue. This ministry here is one of the few ministries in the United States that they live totally on divine providence, what God gives, okay? That their generosity will be blessed by heaven. We pray to the Lord. I want to pray for all your intentions and needs, those known and unknown, your families. I would like to pray for your marriages, those who are married and are here. I want to ask God that you will taste the best wine. I want to ask God that he will make of your marriage something that's an example, that it will become contagious. We pray to the Lord. For your children and grandchildren, that they might be open to God's will, because God does have a perfect plan. We pray to the Lord. And also for the community of my brothers servants of divine mercy in my community, family of Jesus, that God will bless them, strengthen them, hold them, and for all our needs with vocations, our finances, that we will, God will develop our spirituality and also our charism. We pray to the Lord. And now please add your own intentions in the silence of your heart. Papa, you are generous. You are good, you are loving, you are holy. May we know evermore the reality that we just spoke, that you are good, you are holy, you are so loving. That we might become copies, living copies of your Son Jesus, who did, as the gospel says today, all things well. And now as we proceed in this Mass, may we do all things well for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated now for the closing. And if we can spend a moment now, just in silence before they come up with the baskets, just realize what we're about to do is done to Jesus. It's in the disguise of us. Just bow your heads and realize what I'm about to do is for Jesus. And we want to put what we're about to do and give it to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.